This morning, we will talk about the man who led Paul to Christ, the man who is responsible for the salvation of Paul. If you have your Bible with you, would you please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9, and we'll read verses from 10 through 19. Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting the hands on him so that he could receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is the chosen vessel of mine to bear the name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name, for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. We will spend most time on chapter 9, but I would like to read one more verse from the same book, chapter 22, verse 12. Chapter 22, verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we will not just passively listen to what you have to say, but also remember that long ago you had planned for our lives, and you still have the same desire to have all of us work with you if we will pay attention to the little things in life and get ourselves ready before you call our name. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the early chapters of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit has the freedom working through the apostles. Later, God sent Philip, a deacon, to to lead an Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. If I can use the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, then we can consider the apostles, the deacons, as the 5 and 2 talent servants. Now that in chapter 9, the Holy Spirit is about to show us that God also can use 1 talent servants. I believe God is addressing a large audience simply because there are more of us, the 1 talent servants, according to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Sometimes God's grace shines brighter through the 1 talent vessels. The parable of the talents also implies that to whom much is given, much is required. Who are 7 years apart? When the older one reached middle school age, the younger one was still in kindergarten. Every morning, I asked them if they were ready for school. To the older one, it meant if she has finished her homework. To the younger one, it meant if he had tied his shoelaces. Both children had equal chance in pleasing their earthly father. Similarly, all God's children had equal chance in pleasing their heavenly father, even though our talent may be limited to tying the shoelaces. God still rewards many 1 talent servants for being good and faithful over a few things. And this morning, we will look at 1 talent servant who has the desire to please the Heavenly Father. But before we get into the text, let me give you a little background. Beginning from chapter 8 of Acts, persecution against the church had broke out in Jerusalem. All believers, except for the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And Saul was doing much damage to the church, going from house to house. Saul hunted down the followers of Christ and put them in prison. In chapter 9, Saul was on his way to Damascus with the intention to destroy that church as well. When he was close to Damascus, the Lord Jesus appeared to him in a bright light. And Jesus asked him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was struck blind and was told to go to Damascus and wait for further instructions. Saul at that time did not know God has chosen him to be God's representative before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. But God wanted him to be God's representative. But wait, first, somebody have to lead him to Christ first. So whom shall we send? The Lord has spotted a disciple who was available, ready and willing to run God's errands. And his name is Ananias. Some of us here may ask, Ananias who? There are three people named Ananias in the Bible. Two of them are from Jerusalem, and this one is a resident of Damascus. Ananias first appeared on the stage in verse 10. So let's look at verse 10 again. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. Here Ananias was introduced as a certain disciple. That's right, that's all the information we were given. So what does it mean, a certain disciple? It simply means that this disciple is not an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher. He is none of the above. In plain language, the Bible is telling us that Ananias is an ordinary one-talent servant, like some of us. At work, we sometimes have summer students from the governor's school working in our lab. These are the high school students who have not had the opportunity of holding a regular full-time job. But their resume already looked very impressive. So what is the qualification of Ananias? What is his achievement? It's only one line long, a certain disciple. If Saul should postpone his trip to Damascus until after chapter 11 of Acts, then probably Ananias will be introduced as a certain Christian. Ananias lived a simple life, hidden in obscurity. However, the Lord knew all about him. I believe the Lord used Ananias here for at least two reasons. First, it is a reminder that like Ananias, we are all well equipped to serve the Lord. The Lord equipped us because he still believes in us that we are teachable. Second, it is to motivate us to start paying attention to the little things in life and getting ourselves prepared to serve him, to be a channel of his blessings. Please note, the Lord is not here trying to recruit Ananias and then send him to some special training program, getting him ready for the upcoming assignment. Ananias had the desire to please the Heavenly Father by putting God's word in his daily walk. In other words, Ananias remained faithful every day amid the unexciting, ordinary life of Damascus. He's always ready whenever the Lord calls his name. The Lord can use him right away without delay. Like Ananias, we too have the desire to serve the Lord, but we must get ourselves prepared before the Lord calls our name. Ananias has a good relationship with the Lord. When the Lord calls Ananias, unlike Saul, who asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" Ananias knew right away it was the Lord and quickly took his position as a servant. When the Lord talked, Ananias listened. When Ananias talked, the Lord also listened. Even when he was making a protest, Ananias could be frank with the Lord, and the Lord patiently listened. Verse 11 and 12 talk about Ananias' assignment. Let's look at it again. So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." The Lord wants Ananias to go as God's representative and meet Saul. Ananias' response can be found in verse 13 and 14. So let's look at them again. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Ananias was reluctant to accept the assignment. But it's not without reason. He has heard enough bad things about Saul. And here he's informing the Lord with the latest news on Saul, just in case the Lord may miss some details. This is the Saul who had turned followers of Christ into martyrs. And his presence in Damascus puts all the believers' life there in jeopardy. And Lord, you want me to confront Saul? Why must the lamb walk into the mouth of the lion? Besides, what will happen to my family? Ananias' story begins with, "Here I am, Lord," statement. It's his willingness to do anything that the Lord calls him to do. That is, until things begin to feel a little uncomfortable. The moment the Lord asks him to pray for and minister to Saul, Ananias becomes understandably nervous. And he changes tune. "God, but..." Isn't it interesting? that we always manage to reason with God, to enlighten Him on how things are supposed to be, as if the law does not know better. But I'm glad that Luke, the author of Acts, recorded this portion of their conversation on the reluctance or fear of Ananias to face Saul. It reveals that Ananias is not perfect. He doesn't have the unwavering faith in the law. He's just made of the same stuff that you and I are made of. Or is it a hint that we still have hope? If I were Ananias, I would try to talk God out of it. "Excuse me, Lord," I would say to him. "Did I hear you say Saul is now blind? We have prayer meetings at our fellowship on Wednesdays. I will go and report to the brothers and sisters that God has already answered our prayer." Since Saul is blind, he cannot see Christians like us now. That means he can no longer arrest believers from the street. But then, why should we bother to restore his eyesight? The law assured Ananias in verse 15 and 16, "Ananias, it's all right for you to go, because Saul is now my chosen vessel." Would Ananias understand that this Saul, the terrorist, the arch enemy of the church, is now a chosen vessel? Not likely. Nevertheless, Ananias is willing to comply this time. "Lord, if you say it's okay for me to go, I will go. I will forgive Saul." He willingly obeyed to confront Saul. It's just pure trust, courage, and obedience. And this is the man God uses, ready and willing. As God's representative of forgiveness, Ananias must demonstrate first his own forgiveness of Saul. Anyone who walks on the street that's named straight must leave their anger and bitterness behind. So Ananias went and paid Saul a visit. Let's look at verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Ananias Ananias' Christian love is seen in his attitude towards Saul. He welcomes Saul with an affectionate greeting and calls him Brother Saul. Moreover, he put his hands on Saul, a gracious act. Saul was going to put his hands of vengeance on all the believers. Now, Ananias put his hands of mercy, forgiveness on Saul. There's no trace of resentment for the entire period of Ananias' visit. Since Saul is blind, he cannot see love on Ananias' face. Therefore, Ananias has to communicate with him, with his touch and with his voice. As a matter of fact, words from Ananias must have brought much comfort to the ears of the blind man. How he must have perked up. This visitor, whom I have seen in the vision, is sent by Jesus to heal my blindness, does not sound arrogant and self-important at all. If anything, he sounds like my friend. If Ananias' Christian love is revealed in his attitude towards Saul, Ananias' loyalty is seen in his attitude toward the Lord Jesus. After saluting Saul, Ananias immediately identified his position as a servant. The Lord Jesus has sent me. It shows his discretion and devotion. A very humble man. Ananias did not begin explaining who and what he is. He's content to remain as a faithful, anonymous messenger of his master. Let's continue on to verse 18 and 19. Immediately there fell upon his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. We read that Saul spent some days with the disciples of Damascus. This leads to another point about Ananias' visit. Together, they had demonstrated an act of acceptance of Saul. What an incredible turn of events. The one who come to capture all believers is now captivated by them. At the same time, Saul, or Paul, learned a new insight. That is, in church life, not only do we need big brothers, we also need small brothers. God uses Ananias to help Paul enter a new life. just as Paul, who healed his blindness. At this time, Ananias disappears from the story, and we never hear from him again. Ananias seemed to play a small part in the drama of Paul's conversion. God has used Ananias to further his purposes, that is, God's purposes, in launching the career of Paul. It is the little act of obedience of Ananias that made it able to have a great harvest for the kingdom. Another example of one talent servant in the Bible is Andrew. Andrew is one of Jesus' earliest disciples. We don't see any record of Andrew's activity in the first three Gospels. But John's Gospel recorded three instances that's related to his one talent, namely his ability in bringing people to Christ. Like Ananias, Andrew seemed to play a small part in people's life, but the impact was huge. For example, we talk about evangelism starts at home. So Andrew brought his brother, Simon, who was later called Peter, to Jesus. Andrew had no idea. In a few years, Peter, the fisherman, became a preacher, leading 3,000 and 5,000 people to Christ. Another time, after a long teaching session at some desert place, Jesus wanted his disciples to feed the hungry crowd. It was Andrew who brought the two fish and five loaves of bread from the little boy to Jesus. Ananias, Andrew, had no idea that when food fell into Jesus' hands, Jesus blessed it, broke and multiplied the food, and fed 5,000 hungry men. On another occasion, a group of Greek people approached Philip and requested to see Jesus. Philip told them, "Please wait here. I know just the one who is expert in bringing people to Jesus." So Andrew went out and found Andrew. And Andrew and Philip brought the Greek people to Jesus. They did not know that now gospel has reached the Gentiles. Some of you already heard the story of Mr. Edward Kimball. He's a humble Sunday school teacher for a bunch of hyperactive teenagers. These troublesome boys care little about God and the religion. There was one boy in particular who was full of mischief. Mr. Kimball had doubt that someday this boy will become a Christian. And the boy's name is Dwight L. Moody. Anyway, Mr. Kimball kept after the boys of his Sunday school class. One day he was making his run. He came to this shoe store where Mr. Moody was working. He hesitated even at the last minute whether to get in or not. He finally pushed himself in. Mr. Kimball could not remember the exact words he said to Mr. Moody. Neither could Mr. Moody. But whatever happened on that day, Mr. Moody was ready to give himself and his life to Christ. Mr. Moody went on to become a great evangelist. But the story did not stop here. Mr. Moody was responsible for the salvation of Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman became an evangelist that had reached to and touched the life of in thousands. One of them was a professional baseball player named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday became a pastor, and his ministry impacted the life of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham became a traveling evangelist who was given the credit of leading a young man named Billy Graham to Christ. Billy Graham, we know, was the evangelist. He and his gospel tent perhaps have touched the most number of people on record. All these chain of events goes back to the humble Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, who persisted in the hard work in evangelizing the difficult youth. Mr. Kimball's name is merely a footnote in history, but its impact and legacy was huge. Perhaps gospel tent is not a modern day tool to spread the gospel. Therefore, God is looking for more people like Ananias to spread the gospel and make disciples on a one-to-one basis. Brothers and sisters, let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord and start paying attention to the little things in life. The world is watching us. We may be Mr. Nobody, but we can all make an honest effort to be a good testimony for the Lord. Remember that everybody, not everybody can be poor, but everybody can be Ananias. I miss a paragraph here. That is, other than chapter 9 of Acts, there was little written about Ananias. Only Paul made a reference to it in chapter 22. As Paul remembers it, Ananias, a devout man, is well spoken of by all the Jewish residents in Damascus. And here we are given a chance to see Ananias' discreetness. And we know Ananias had a heart to please the Lord. And there's something about this ordinary disciple. He chose to live a life, to live a godly life by keeping the little things in life, the little things that you and I can also do. In other words, Ananias, seek to glorify the Lord by living a consecrated life. There was no incentive or reason for the Jewish neighbors to say good things about Ananias, who was a disciple of Jesus. But it's not a small thing to have your character praised by another party who strongly differs from you. A good reputation, such as Ananias, cannot be earned in days and weeks. It takes a long time to build. Apparently, Ananias, a native of Damascus, had been closely watched by his neighbors, people who he worked with, and people whom he had a transaction or business for years. Ananias lived an exemplary life. Such people are living sermons. In a sense, he's a Mr. Nobody, but in a far above sense, he's a good ambassador of heaven because he's careful about the little things in life. He becomes a good testimony for the Lord. Here we are reminded again, not everybody can be poor, but everyone can be Ananias. I pray that our ability is limited, but with God's help and blessing, every one of us here can be used for Ananias in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that all of us here hear your pleading for us to join your winning team. While there is still opportunity, who would want to end up on the losing team? Lord, thank you for your words of encouragement. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.